Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 102, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Nellie Akulp of CorpNet.com. CorpNet is a legal business documents filing service company, and Nellie gives us a lot of great detailed information about choosing a business formation structure, and she answers all of our questions about trademarks. There's a lot of meaty information in this episode, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Nellie Akulp of CorpNet.com. CorpNet is a legal document service company that helps people form businesses and file all the correct paperwork. Nellie and her husband are an attorney, husband and wife team who founded the company together. They have four children and live in Southern California. Welcome to the show, Nellie.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah and Bethann.
Nellie, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started in business? I know you've had quite a long journey as an entrepreneur.
So I am an internet entrepreneur and currently CEO and founder of CorpNet. CorpNet is my second startup incorporation filing service, which I founded in 2009 after exhausting my non-compete and having that end from the sale of my first company, which I had founded in 1997. So CorpNet, my current company, was truly founded on the simple philosophy of my passion for small business and assisting small business owners and entrepreneurs in starting and protecting their businesses through the various do-it-yourself and business startup services that I've founded since 1997. I've probably formed over 500,000 corporations and LLCs for small business owners to date. My last company was acquired by Intuit in 2005. Today, my husband and I operate CorpNet. We're very involved in the day-to-day aspects and operations of running CorpNet and assist small business owners and entrepreneurs in finding what their passion is. And once they found what that passion is, we help them make their small business dreams into a reality. I'm also a mother of four, as you mentioned, so I balance raising my children. I have teenage twins that are 13 years old. I have an 11-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I balance running a small business alongside raising my children and being a full-time parent as well.
Sounds like a lot on your plate, for sure. So you mentioned, you know, helping over 500,000 small businesses get started, which is amazing. So deciding on a business formation can be a little complicated when you're first getting started as an entrepreneur. Can you discuss for us some of the pros and cons of various business formations, such as doing a sole proprietorship versus an LLC versus an S-Corp?
So the sole proprietorship is the basic form of legal structure there is out there for a small business owner entrepreneur who basically wants to do business without any type of legal protection and wants to do it either under their own name or under a fictitious business name. With the sole proprietorship, the filing that goes along with bringing a sole proprietorship into life is called a doing business as filing, also referred to as a fictitious business name filing. And again, with a sole proprietorship, it's one person doing business under their own name or under a fictitious business name. And this type of business structure does not offer any type of legal protection whatsoever. So God forbid, if the business wrongs a third party or somebody and that third party decides to go after them and sue the business, they can potentially come after the small business owner's personal assets, whether it be your house, your car, your savings account. So nothing is protected and there is no legal protection when you're operating your business as a sole proprietorship. So for that reason, we recommend that if you are in a business and the business is a viable business and it's taken off and you are producing profits, no matter how small you are, it's always wise to consider incorporating your business as a corporation or an LLC.
So the sole proprietorship, it is the easiest formation, and my understanding is it's the easiest business formation to undertake. And I think it was interesting that you mentioned that if it is a viable business, if it's something where you are making a profit, so if you're very new to business, it is possible to start out as a sole proprietorship and then possibly move on to a more complicated structure when you know that it is viable and profitable?
That's a definite valid question, and that's a great question that you ask. Oftentimes, most business owners do start out by default as a sole proprietor or a partnership if there are two or more people within the business. So sole proprietor means one person. If it's two or more people, then it's a partnership. And by default, most businesses and most startups often start out as a sole proprietorship. If they're not really informed and haven't done their studying or due diligence on the benefits of incorporating the business or setting themselves up as an LLC. And that's where we come in. And that's why I, as a small business expert, try to produce content. And the reason why I'm on so many different outlets is to educate small business owners on the benefits and the importance of incorporating their business, no matter how new they are as a small business owner or an entrepreneur, and no matter how new the business is. Because as a small business owner, if you do have assets, you want to protect them, and you don't want them to be up for grabs. God forbid you end up on the wrong end of a lawsuit.
So protection is obviously a huge benefit of an LLC or an S-Corp. Could you explain what some of that protection is that a business owner would get by becoming an LLC or an S-Corp?
Absolutely. So for the small business owner, I want to back up. For the small business owner who is actually considering incorporating themselves as a corporation or an LLC, the S corporation or the LLC, as you mentioned, are the best types of business entities for the small business owner to consider after they've talked to their accountant or financial advisor as to which one would give them the best tax scenario and the best tax benefits. But really, the difference between the two, I'll start out with the S corporation. The S corporation is a corporation, and once the corporation is formed, you or a reputable filing company such as our company, CorpNet, can elect to treat that corporation as an S corporation for tax purposes to give the small business owner the benefit of avoiding paying taxes once at the corporate level and once at the individual level. So in essence, the S corporation, you're avoiding paying double taxation, and the entity is treated as a pass-through tax entity for purposes of taxation, in addition to providing you with the benefits of liability protection, giving you added personal privacy, and creating a corporate shield between you as a business owner and the business. So God forbid if the business gets sued, only anything that's within the business and all the funds within the business and the assets of the business are up for grabs. That person who is suing or who claims that they're wrong, they cannot come after the business owner's personal assets. In addition to the liability protection, which is, in our opinion, the biggest benefit of incorporating yourself as a corporation, other benefits are, again, added layer of privacy. As a corporation or an LLC, you may be entitled to more tax savings. As a corporation or an LLC, there's a higher credibility factor with people wanting to do business with you. So by having that Inc. or LLC next to your name, people are more likely to want to do business with you because you appear more credible in the eyes of the public. They look at you as taking the necessary steps to legitimize your business. So in the eyes of the public, you look more as an established entity. But those are merely some of the benefits of the S corporation. And with the LLC, again, it stands for the limited liability company. And again, it offers the same types of benefits as an S corporation does without all the formalities that you have to deal with as an S corporation. With the LLC, I call it the business structure that you get to have your cake and eat it too, because you get all the liability protection that you're afforded by a corporation or an S corporation, but without all the formalities. Truly, with an LLC, the only formality that's there is for you to have an operating agreement that's executed by all the members of the LLC and to file your yearly compliance documents to keep the LLC in compliance. But in all other aspects, the LLC is very similar to the S corporation in that it provides you with liability protection. It provides you with avoiding to pay that double taxation. And with the LLC, you have, the added benefit of even more tax savings.
I wanted to jump back really quickly in that discussion, which was great. You really clearly outlined all of those great benefits that come with an LLC or an S-Corp. But you mentioned that the S-Corp and the LLC are pass-through entities. And I was hoping you could explain to our listeners what a pass-through entity is or what that means on their taxes.
Absolutely. So again, I'm not a tax expert or an accountant. So merely what I'm saying on this podcast is just for general business knowledge. So it may vary within your state or based on your tax slide for any state that you're particularly located in. But generally speaking, a pass-through feature is that with a corporation, with a normal C-profit corporation, the shareholders of the corporation, if the corporation reports a profit and if the shareholders get paid, they get taxed once on the corporate level. And then once the corporation pays out dividends to the individual shareholders, the shareholders get taxed again on their personal income taxes. By becoming an S corporation, you're basically avoiding paying taxes on the corporate level, and you're only paying taxes once the corporation pays you out as an individual, and you only get taxed once at the individual level. This is similar with the LLC as well, whereby as a member of the LLC, you're only getting taxed once at the individual level. Again, I'm not a tax expert, and tax laws vary state by state, but that's the general idea with avoiding paying double taxation.
So, Nellie, let's jump into trademarks a little bit here. At what point should a business consider filing for a trademark, and what are things that can be trademarked?
So, for a startup, intellectual property is often the most valuable asset. And when I talk about intellectual property consists of trademarks, copyrights, and patents. It can also include your brand assets, everything from the company name to the logo and product tagline. And trademarks help keep your brand ID safe with the idea that no one else in the market can come in and use your brand or trademark for a similar thing. So in answer to your question, when should a business trademark their name or logo? And my answer to that is if you have a viable name and if you're planning on using it in more than one state, or you want to prevent from others diluting your brand name or logo, then trademarking that brand name should be on the top of your start a business checklist, and it should be done sooner than later. But here are the answers to 10 of the most frequently asked questions surrounding trademarks that we get. And I'd like to go over those 10 with you guys.
Sure.
So the first question that we often get, which is one of the frequently asked questions, is if I trademark my company name or product name, does that mean nobody else can use it? The answer to that is that the main purpose of a trademark is to prevent confusion in the marketplace, ensuring that consumers will know who is behind a certain product or service. That's why trademark protection only applies to a particular category of goods and services. For example, Nike Inc., I'm going to just use Nike as an example, owns the mark on a variety of shoes, clothing, sporting goods. But there's also a Nike Corporation that's involved in hydraulic lifting jacks and other heavy machinery. So there's really no risk of a consumer confusing those two companies. So again, if you have a name that you want to trademark, it really depends on the products and the goods and services that you're offering. Because when you register a trademark, it's done by what classes or category of classes you fall under. Are you guys with me on this?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, I was going to give an example of something we see on Etsy all the time. We have some Etsy sellers in our community and audience, and Sarah and I also sell there. Sellers will say they'll use maybe the tag or in their listing title something like Lily Pulitzer, you know, to describe the style of their dress or something of that nature. Well, that's trademarked. They can't, you know, it's because it's trademarked, Lily Pulitzer can protect her brand and her name. And if, you know, if that company wants to go after them and say, hey, you may not do this, send a cease and desist or something of that nature, like they can because they're trademarked essentially, right?
Yes. But I want to step back because I think what we need to define is what is a trademark for your audience. So I want to start at the beginning and really define what a trademark is. It's a word, phrase, or symbol or design or combination of any of these that identifies the source of a product or service and distinguishes it from its competitors. Trademarks can be given for product names, company names, logos, and taglines. For example, my company, CorpNet, the brand name is CorpNet, and the logo is our name plus the arrow and the paper that's kind of going forward. So we've trademarked the name, the brand name, the logo, and the tagline for our company. And in the case of Nike, and going back to the Nike example, the Nike Swish design and the Just Do It are all trademarks owned by Nike to distinguish their products. But keep in mind that trademark protection typically applies to a particular category of goods and services. And again, in Nike's case, these are athletic companies, sporting goods, clothing, shoes, and everything surrounded in the area of clothing, shoes, and sporting goods. That's why there's also, as I mentioned before, a Nike Corporation that's completely different from the brand name Nike that's involved in providing other types of services such as hydraulic jacks and industrial machinery. So we need to make sure we're really clear on what trademark is and what it protects. So oftentimes, once we've defined what a trademark is, the question that I get asked is, well, do I need to trademark my business name? And one of the most commonly misunderstood aspects of trademark law is that you don't actually have to officially register a trademark with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. If your company creates a brand new logo or name, you essentially have common law rights by using that name in commerce under the guise of using it for the first time. And it's called common law rights of first use. However, if you want to have a stronger claim and potentially sue somebody if somebody else comes and copies you, it's always best to register that mark with the USPTO and Trademark Office. And again, if you register it, you're going to have a much stronger brand protection compared to common law rights. That said, we are often asked, what are the benefits of registering a trademark? Well, the answer to that is that by registering for U.S. federal trademark protection, you'll be eligible for several benefits, including damages if anybody infringes on your company name or logo or brand, the right to use the R symbol next to your brand name or logo instead of just the TM symbol, and a streamlined process for securing your domains and usernames at social sites like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube if somebody else is using your brand name. And at the end of the day, you have significantly stronger protection than common law, aka if you have an unregistered mark. So it can make it much easier to recover your property if you are actually a registered trademark, if somebody happens to be copying your name or using your name as, for example, as your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle or just copying it in commerce. Another question that I'm asked is, I've already registered my name with the state. Do I still need a trademark? This is often a question that we're asked because there is definitely a confusion out there that just because you're registering your name with the state, you're automatically protected and nobody else can use that name. And that's not the case. When you incorporate or you set up a sole proprietorship or an LLC or file a DBA, you're registering that name with your state. As for your new business, this process registers your business name with your state secretary of state or your local county. But this does not automatically give you trademark protection, and it's not giving you any type of trademark rights other than just common law rights. So if you want trademark protection, or if you want to prevent others from copying your brand name or logo, then you have to consider registering that trademark with the USPTO. Just merely registering that name as a corporation or LLC is not going to prevent others from using that name. It is going to prevent them from using that name as a corporation or LLC, but it's not going to prevent them by using that name as merely a DBA or just in commerce. The only way you can prevent that by happening is to file a trademark.
Okay, so if you start a business with a name, you're not completely sunk if you don't immediately get that trademark. You do, like, the law recognizes that common law aspect that you were kind of there first. However, going through the formal process of getting that trademark really ensures that nobody can come along and steal what you have created and start using your name or symbol or tagline.
That's very, very correctly put.
Okay. Is it complicated or expensive to get a trademark? It sounds tricky, and I have been on the government trademark website, and they say that you don't absolutely need a lawyer to do the trademark process, but even the government website highly recommends that you employ the services of a lawyer. So is it really that complicated?
That's a great question. It is a complicated process. However, you do not need a lawyer to assist you with registering a trademark. A reputable document filing service that provides the services such as our company, CorpNet, can assist you with your trademark registration and filing for a minimal service fee. But before you even take on the route of registering the trademark with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, you have to first make sure the name is available for you to register it as a trademark. And a reputable company such as our company can provide you these tools to, for example, conduct a free trademark search to make sure the name you want to use isn't already registered by another business. And once you use this tool and make sure that the name is not registered or there's no pending registered on it, you may want to take the next step of doing a comprehensive nationwide search and having our company provide those search results to you to make sure nobody has any common law rights to the name. And then once you've exhausted those two steps, you can register the trademark with the USPTO by filing it directly online with them or having our company handle the filing for you. The cost for the application is $325 per class. You have to at least register your trademark under one class and at a maximum of 2 to 3 classes. And the filing process can take anywhere from 6 to 12 months once you submit your application.
So it sounds doable, except it seems like it's a long process. You're going to wait quite a bit to get that trademark in your hands.
That's correct, but it is doable. And again, we highly recommend for the small business owner to align themselves with a legal filing service such as ours, because it is a very long and tedious process. And once the application has been submitted for filing, you're assigned a document examiner that actually would be in charge of your filing and will review what you've submitted for your application. And oftentimes, they will submit an office action and want to request more information from the small business owner. And that's where it gets a little bit gray for the small business owner. And oftentimes, what happens is if the small business owner is doing this on their own, they'll oftentimes just not follow through with what is requested by the document examiner. And then truly the trademark fees that they've paid are gone to waste because they're not following through and ultimately not following the steps to get their trademark registered successfully. And on the other hand, if they use our service, then we take care of all the office actions and the responses and the correspondence with the USPTO office examiner to ensure that the filing is successfully registered for the small business owner.
Well, thank you so much for walking us through all of that information about trademarks. I know that's a topic I've been curious about, and so you have definitely answered some of my questions. And I have to say, in looking on your website, there was a really nice explanation on your website about different issues related to trademarks that answered questions or talked about topics related to that I was completely unaware of. So that was very, very helpful.
Thank you. And we have a plethora of resources available both on our website and our blog that goes into even more detail about intellectual property rights, trademarks, and copyrights as well.
I wanted to kind of go back in time a little bit after all of this technical talk, which was awesome. But so you have, this is now the second company of this nature that you have created, you and your husband. And I was curious to know kind of that beginning story of the first company that you created. How did that come to be? What made you want to create a company of this nature?
My husband and I were both attending law school back in 1997, and he got this idea by being in his corporation class, and it was at the birth of the internet era, and one of the hottest ideas out there was starting businesses online. Because of the birth of the internet back in 1997, a lot of entrepreneurs wanted to start their businesses online. So we came up with the idea of helping these startups with all the legal filings necessary to bring their businesses to fruition and legitimizing the business. And we started our first company with a $100 investment by acquiring the domain name and started it in our two-bedroom apartment, worked our butts off day and night, grew the business to where it was doing a substantial amount of sales, and had the opportunity to purchase our first house with our business and then eventually moved into an office. And then from there grew the business and moved into a bigger office. And then by 2005, we were approached and blessed with the opportunity of being acquired by a publicly traded company. And at that time, it was a great exit strategy for us because we had twins that were 5 years old and a 2.5-year-old toddler. So we decided to sell and decided to go under a non-compete for 3 years. Once our non-compete ran out in 2009, we realized that we were too young, too motivated, too passionate, and frankly, too young to take on such an early retirement. And we loved small business so much and really couldn't see ourselves doing anything else. So we decided to start all over again in 2009 with our current company, CorpNet.com.
That is really interesting. That shows how passionate you guys are about this topic, the fact that you sold a company that was doing great and you had it made and could have, you know, just relaxed, but you love this field so much that you said, let's start from scratch again. Let's do this again. And I'm curious to know, what have been some of the new challenges with starting this company again, clearly, or a, you know, a similar company? Clearly you had a lot of experience, but you were starting this company in a brand new era. So what were kind of some of the new challenges in terms of growing CorpNet?
I think the biggest challenge for us with CorpNet was the fact that we were starting a company in 2009, which was at the height of the recession, and now coming out in a very, very saturated marketplace whereby we're now not only competing with my old company, but hundreds of thousands of other competitors offering similar type services to us, and really coming in a very saturated market whereby the services become a commodity. And although really for us, there was no barrier to entry, because for me, if you have a clear vision and if you have a clear business plan and direction as to where you want to go with your business, you can make it possible. And for us, we had a clear direction with how we wanted to come out the second time around. And in 2009, although it was the height of the recession, it was also the birth of a new era, which I call the social media digital era. So we decided to come out and do something that our competitors really had not caught on to yet, although they have now. But we decided to come out and really, really launched a business with a very socially media, socially digitally savvy type of kind of angle, whereby I branded myself as a small business expert, having done this several times in the past, and also came out putting out a ton of content and really marketing the business through content marketing.
So differentiation was a key factor for you in trying to succeed in an already saturated market.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure a lot of small business owners, let's say even you're an Etsy seller and you are a great seamstress and you want to start sewing napkins and placemats on your Etsy shop, but you are entering an already saturated market. So others, I'm sure many people, would have just been discouraged and said, it's too saturated. There's no chance that we have of getting a foot in the door. But I like that you focused on how you can be different in order to succeed.
Exactly. And truly, it's, you know, I think my whole notion is that there's plenty of business to go around for everybody. And really what I want to, the message here to be learned is that just because you're entering a saturated market doesn't mean you have a barrier to entry. It's basically just looking at the market and finding out how you can differentiate yourself and how you can market yourself differently to kind of stand out from everybody else. And that's exactly what we did.
Awesome. So do you have a single accomplishment in your business, Nelly, that you're most proud of?
I mean, I have many accomplishments. I think my biggest accomplishment in business is having had the opportunity to be acquired and having my business acquired at such an early age. I mean, I became a multimillionaire at the age of 31. So I think that's a really huge accomplishment. And frankly, having been blessed with the opportunity to do it all over again, and doing it as we speak. I think that kind of says it all.
Those are definitely great accomplishments. As we wrap up today, Nelly, We always like to close with a funny or adorable mom moment. Do you have anything you could share from one of your four kids' antics or what they've been up to lately?
Absolutely. So my four-year-old daughter is convinced that Daddy actually had her for 9 months in his tummy. And she's convinced that Daddy gave birth to her. Although every night she cries for Mommy and wants Mommy to put her to bed. But Daddy was the one to give birth to my little Ariana.
Should we ask why she thinks that Daddy gave birth to her? Or shouldn't we go there?
I have no idea, but she has a very strong connection to my husband. It's actually a very interesting story. So my four-year-old was born and was a big surprise to us. We had had our kids, and she's just a blessing that has touched our lives, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But she came into our lives the night that my husband's grandma passed away. So she has actually, her middle name is after my husband's grandma. And frankly, I have no clue. I mean, you know, my husband is a little bit chubby and overweight and has, you know, that belly weight, but I don't know why. I'm being completely transparent here. But, you know, she's convinced that Daddy had her, and Daddy is her age. She's four, and Daddy is five, you know, and God bless these imaginative minds. The futures of America, I call them.
That's really cute. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Nellie. We've definitely learned a ton, and there's lots of practical advice that our listeners can take away here. Can you let everyone know one more time, where's the best place for them to find you and CorpNet online?
The best place to find us is to visit our website at corpnet.com, and we have live chat experts standing by to answer any questions for you through live chat on any type of business filing or business startup process. We offer our services, again, nationwide in all 50 states, so please reach out to us either through email at info@corpnet.com or visit the site at www.corpnet.com, or simply pick up the phone and contact us Monday through Fridays from 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 1-888-449-2638.
Well, thanks again. This was very informational. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You ladies have a wonderful day.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/102. And we'll have a link in the show notes to Nellie's company, CorpNet. And we've also included her company on our resource page as well. One last little thing I wanted to tell you guys about. Our book, Time Management Mama, Making Use of the Margins to Pursue Your Passions, is now available in paperback. I must say it's really, really, really fun to see our self-published book in an actual paperback format. It's pretty cool to actually hold it in our hands. We were pretty thrilled about it. So if you've been thinking you've wanted to read the book, but you're not a big fan of digital editions, you prefer to hold a book in your hands, now you can get Time Management Mama in paperback format. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that new option for our book and share that little victory, because as we say all along, we're going through a lot of this stuff with you guys as well. Brilliant Business Moms is only a little over a year old, so some of the things that we're trying or doing are brand new to us. Self-publishing a book, brand new. We'd never done that before. Getting that book in paperback format, that's new to us as well. So these are small victories that we're taking right alongside you guys and your victories. And actually, in our private Facebook group, We love to share our business victories. Everybody does in that group because it's so encouraging and everyone is so excited when you get a big win or a big customer or make a big sale or even just get started. Everyone is really excited and loves to hear about victories and wins. If you would like to join our private Facebook group, just be sure to sign up for our email list and be patient, but in a couple weeks after you sign up for the email list, you'll get an invitation to the Brilliant Business Moms private Facebook group. I hope you're having a great week. I hope you have a great victory in your business this week, a big win, a small win. Maybe you finally start that Etsy shop or you get your shop to 100 listings, or maybe on your blog you reach out and get your first guest posting gig. But I hope that you're getting a small victory this week and that you take the time to celebrate it and appreciate it. It's not easy adding business goals and dreams on top of an already busy schedule with family and children and home and maybe even a full-time job. So you're doing great. Good job. And I hope you have a fantastic week. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.